before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto the Lord, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I want to preach tonight just very simply, welcome to the family. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them, welcome to the family. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us tonight. God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. I ask you to help us, anoint us. Let the Holy Ghost do your work here tonight. In the name of Jesus, would you clap your hands with all your might and give God praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, that sounds good. Let's do it together. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Psalm 68. It is a psalm song. You can sing it. You probably sung it here. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. It's a song, but in this song is a comparison or a contrast. It's the same presence. There's only one presence of God, but in this first couple of verses of this psalm song is a contrast to how you approach God. He said, let God arise. Let God stand up. Let God rise up. How many of you know that it doesn't matter what kind of situation you got going? Doesn't matter what things may be happening. Doesn't matter what kind of sickness you may be dealing with. All that really needs to happen is for God to rise. There's nothing that can stand before God. There's nothing that can vaunt itself before God. There's nothing that can... Come on, help me preach on Wednesday night. There's no sickness that can stand up in front of God. There's no rebellion. There's no trouble. There's no hurt that can stand up. Let God arise. I'm going to tell you, there's some of us here tonight. All you really need is for God to rise in your life. You need to get in the presence of God. There's things hanging on you. There's spirits that are attached to you. There's family things that are lined up down your... All you need is to get in the presence of God. And when God arises, the enemies, the adversaries of God, they scatter, they break, they're dashed in pieces. Come on, I'm preaching. Is there anybody here that remembers when you brought your sin and all of your trouble and all of your mess and all of your trials and heartaches into the presence of God, and you fell on your knees and began to repent, and all of a sudden it was dashed in pieces? That addiction didn't have a hold on you anymore. Like smoke is driven away. The adversaries of God, he said, when God stands up, when God arises, amen. And there was something in the heart of the psalmist, amen. He wanted God to stand up. Let God arise. It was an invitation. Let the presence of God get bigger in my life. You can't make God any bigger than he is, but you can magnify him. You can get his perception bigger. You can get how you feel about... Let God arise.
Come on, let's do it right now. Let's lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. Let God arise. God, we want you to have your way. We want your presence here. We want your glory here. Let God arise. Sometimes we spend too much time dealing with things that only the presence of God can drive away. We go to the doctor for help with our depression. I'm not going to mess with you tonight. I'm just going to preach. We go to the doctor for help with our anxiety. When the Word of God says, be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I'm going to tell you, you can't forget thanksgiving. You can't forget worship. When I may walk in here depressed tonight, but if I can mix in a little thanksgiving, all of a sudden something's going to happen. I'm preaching the answer to the world's problems is more of the presence of God, more of the glory of God. Let your prayers be known with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. I've pastored long enough and I've been preaching in ministry long enough to realize and to do a little study. Almost all sin, I'll go ahead and say it, all sin in the life of a believer, not someone who's not yet come to God, but all sin in the life of a believer can be traced back to a spirit of ingratitude. Hey man, all of a sudden you stop being thankful for that job. Hey man, and you keep listening to Johnny Paycheck singing about what you need to do with your job. And before you know it, you'll have a heart full of negativity. You'll have a heart full of bitterness. But you gotta be thankful. Hey man, you gotta mix in a little thanksgiving with what God's done in your life. It don't take long to thank your way out of trouble. It don't take long to thank yourself into the presence of God. I'm not trying to pastor you here tonight, but if we'd spend a whole lot more time in thanksgiving, we'd spend a lot less time in counseling. We'd spend a lot less time trying to figure out where all our money's going. I'll tell you how I get in the presence of God. I'm still flesh. I still hold this treasure in earthen vessels, Brother Jermaine. I sometimes have a hard time getting in the presence of God. But I tell you the best way to get into it, thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you that you washed my sins away. Thank you for that time when I was sick and you answered and healed my body. Thank you for the job I've got. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. All of a sudden, something starts happening with thanksgiving. Let your prayer and supplication. You got to invite him in. Let God arise. I need more of the Spirit of God. Invite more of the Spirit of God. Make room for the Spirit of God. The Bible still says the Lord inhabits. He inhabits the praises of his people. And where the Lord's habitation is, his adversaries melt like wax before the fire. I'm just preaching out of the book. Where his habitation is, his enemies are driven away like smoke before the wind. You got to get his presence. Come on, God, get up tonight. Come on, God, let more of your glory fall. Let more of your power fall. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. What do you do when you don't know what to do? God never met something that scares him. Anybody here ever had something you couldn't handle? God's never felt that way. The psalmist said, like smoke, it's driven away. That's how God's adversaries are. You get messed up in this wicked world, and you're dealing in the public with wickedness all around. How many of you get tired of dealing with wickedness? How many of you get tired of looking at the news going, my God, how much worse is it going to get? I'm going to tell you. He said, there's two sides of the presence of God. Let God arise. Let his presence enter and swell and expand. Let God's presence magnify. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And when God's presence is in position, when God is lifted up and high, and as the psalmist says, when he arises, there is a response on both sides of the coin. There's no such thing as being neutral in the presence of God. It ain't in the Bible. He said when the Holy Ghost, when God arises, there's one thing that's going to happen. His enemies are going to be scattered. The wicked are going to perish from the presence of God. I want to tell you here tonight that if you're a sinner, amen, there are parts of the presence of God that are going to push you away. Your sin is not going to want to get in the presence of God. Young people, your carnality is going to fight you to get in the presence of God, because there is a resistance from the presence of God to wickedness and sin. It melts you like wax. The wicked don't like being in the presence of God. In fact, Proverbs said the wicked flee when no man pursues. We live in a world of suspicion. We live in a world of paranoia. Woo, I want to tell you, I want to live in a world of peace. How do you do that? Let God arise. I'm preaching, I'm trying not to pastor here tonight, but I'm going to tell you, your house should be the same feeling as the church house. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's peace. I've had them bring their kids to me. Little Johnny's having a nightmare. And I put my hand and pray for little Johnny. But when little Johnny walks away, Bishop Sutton, you look at mom and dad. I say, hey, the reason little Johnny is having nightmares and the reason he's being assailed by fear is because of stuff you're letting in your house. Come on, let God arise. I'm not just talking about in the church house. There's things that are coming against your kids. Let me tell you something. If your kids are in public school, they're being attacked by more things than you ever thought was possible. But I'm telling you, when they get to your house, the presence of God needs to be there. And those enemies, those adversaries need to melt like wax when they walk in your house. How do you get that? You can't listen to Simon Sinek and get that in your house. The presence of the Lord's got to be there. There's got to be some prayer being made there. There's got to be some righteousness being there. There's got to be some mamas that are walking around like my old crazy mama used to do, with some oil anointing the windows and the doors and the beds and the bathrooms. Holy Ghost, have your way here. What was she saying? Let God arise. Let God arise. Let God arise. I can't do nothing but preach what I know. She's dead and gone. Brother Jermaine, but you know what I'm talking about. Amen. My mama, she was, she had this weird kind of praying. You know, there's people that pray really nice. They're pleasant to listen to. But they're over there praying. You're like, man, that's awesome. They ought to make a CD of praying. How many of you know who I'm? There's some of you, you know who I'm talking about. When they pray, it's so beautiful and it's so sweet. And you're like, man, I can listen to that all night. Not my mama. My mama sounded like a Comanche Indian that was about to scalp a beaver. She'd be down, I'm talking about 2 or 3 in the morning. You'd be asleep. You've been messing around at school. You had stuff in your backpack that you knew you didn't need in there. You had clothes in your closet that you knew you didn't need in there. And all of a sudden from down in the living room, and she didn't stay in the living room. All of a sudden you'd hear her coming up the stairs, and in the door she came. Holy Ghost, what was she doing? Let God arise. Let God. I can't handle this, but the Holy Ghost can. I can't handle this, but enemies melt like wax. I'm telling some of you mamas, you need to learn to pray until your kids either repent or get out. You're laying there. You're trying to be cool. You know I'm preaching? You're trying to be cool. You're going to school. You're trying to be cool. You don't want nobody coming to spend the night with you. Because you got a crazy mama. She didn't care. She didn't care if we got it at the school library or from one of our friends or if we bought it with our own money. That wasn't my house. That was her house. That wasn't even my bed. That was her house and her bedroom, and I was just sleeping there. And oh, Holy Ghost, that sure wasn't herself, my cell phone. I'm just going to preach to y'all. I was trying to just preach Holy Ghost, but I'm preaching. I just can't help it. I had a license to preach, Brother Sutton. I could baptize people and pray them through, and I still had a curfew. And I had a mama be standing at the door if I was late. Where you been? I'm going to tell you, that stuff matters. It drove me crazy when I was 15, 16, but on my wedding day, it was important. Today, it's important. I don't have any things I'm battling in my mind because I had a mama that was walking around. Let God arise. Let God. I don't care what he's going through. I don't care what he thinks. Let the Holy Ghost fill this house and drive away the adversaries. Woo. Let God arise. Come on, let's just do it. Everybody get it on your feet. Let God arise. You got an adversary? Let God arise. You got to let it be his battle, not yours. Woo! Woo! Let God arise. A few months ago, about 8 or 9 weeks ago, the end of June, our church was getting ready to go to youth camp. Our young people were getting ready, and we went to junior camp first, the young kids 8 to 12. And on the Monday of junior camp, I was the camp director, and about 11 o'clock that morning, I got a phone call from a dear brother in our church. He said, Brother Wells, pray for my granddaughter. I said, what's up? He said, well, she went to the doctor today. She had a little cough. They couldn't figure out what was wrong. They thought she may have had COVID or something. And they did a chest x-ray. And now they got her at the hospital. And they're doing some tests. They don't really know what's up. And so I could just tell something wasn't right. And my wife and I left someone in charge of the camp. We went to the hospital. And family was there. The father was working off and was coming in. The grandfather and I went out into the hallway, and the nurse that was there in the local hospital came. She said, Pastor, she said, I don't know what's going on. She said, I probably didn't even need to tell you. She said, but there's something in there. Said she's not coughing because She has a sickness. She's coughing because there's something in there that's cutting off her wind, cutting off her air. And we don't know what it is. They shipped her to Shreveport, and they did some tests. Come to find out, this is the end of June, like the 18th or the 19th. I don't remember the date exactly. I'll have to go look. But they did some scans, and they finally came in, and she had a lymphoma that was 11 by 9 by 10 and a half. It was filling the entire left side of her chest cavity. It was wrapped around her heart, pressing on her airway. And they said, there's no way we can do surgery. We're going to have to treat her. She got into St. Jude. We're going to do all these treatments. We don't know what's up. And we're all just, I mean, you don't, what do you do? What do you do? I mean, it's an 18-year-old girl. Lived for God her whole life in church. Grew up in church. What do you do? You just got to let God arise. When you don't even know what to pray, you just do what the Bible says. Did you know it was the Bible? It wasn't your pastor or bishop. It was the Bible that said, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. We didn't get that because we dreamed it up. We didn't do that because we wanted God to do. He said, if this is what do you do? Let God arise. Let God. We just need God to get up. We need God to work. So they got her in to St. Jude. They started the chemo, said, we think we can treat it. And I believe it was at the 8-week mark. We're talking about a tumor that was as big as this folder right here. And the depth of her chest wall, it was bigger than a football. And they said, we're gonna try to shrink it enough that we can maybe go in and get it out in a year or so. She's going to have to go through a ton of chemo. Going to have to do a bunch of stuff. But the whole time we didn't quit praying. Just keep praying. Every time you're in church, let God arise. You don't give in to fear. You don't give in to doubt. When you don't know what to do, you just say, God, get up. Get up, get up, get up, get up. We need God to rise because there's enemies. There's adversaries. There's doubt. There's fear. There's sickness. Let God arise. So on the 8-week mark, after 8 weeks of whatever, they went in at St. Jude and did a scan, did a PET scan and a CT scan, several other things. And I'll never forget, I was in a staff meeting on Wednesday morning, and her grandmother came walking in to staff meeting. And she was talking in tongues, tears running out of her eyes. And she said, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. They don't know where it went. They hoped it would be a little bit smaller. It's gone, it's all gone. What happened? God stood up, and the enemies have to scatter. I'm preaching to you. You need the presence of God at your work. You need the presence of God in your life. You've got to have it. Let God arise. If you've got an adversary tonight, you want to get on your feet and say, let God arise. And so in this description of God, we see the wicked, the enemies, the adversaries melt and are driven away by the presence of God. But the righteous, the same presence that's pushing sin away, the same presence that's driving the adversaries and the haters of God away, in that same place. That's why church is such a wonderful place. That's why a Sunday morning service, there's all kind of stuff happening. There's somebody sitting on the back row that wants to leave as soon as they got there because there's something pressing on them. There's something pushing on them. There's something pushing on their sin. And up here in the front row, the righteous. Let the righteous be glad. There's folks dancing. The same presence. There's folks shouting. There's folks rejoicing. Why? Because in the presence of God, the righteous are glad. The righteous rejoice. The righteous exceedingly rejoice. That's why
I can do this because I'm not pastor here. That's why sometimes on a Sunday night, when you're not getting with it, we've all been there. The big toe hurts tonight, or whatever. Or your mama got mad at you, or your wife got mad at you. Kind of like the story of this couple on the way to church, they got in a big fight. Anybody here ever done that? You just get to arguing on the way to church. I ain't even going to bring it up. So they got in a big fight and fussing, and they come in. The wife, I mean, she was soiled up. Y'all know what that means in Alabama, soiled up. You preach that other place, they don't know what that means. Soiled up. And the husband was in the front row just shouting, kicking and dancing. And the more he danced, the madder his wife got. Church was over. She said, "What was you up there doing? Jumping and shouting, acting like." He said, "I was mad at you. I wasn't mad at God." I'm telling you, there's sometimes the response, there's an indicator in the presence of God, the righteous. Not those that feel good. The righteous are glad. There's something about the presence of God. If it don't trip your trigger, there's something going on. The righteous in the presence of God. The righteous are glad. That's why your pastor may slip up beside you and say, "Hey, man, everything okay tonight?" That's pastor language for "Are you backslid?" I'm just helping y'all. If you get the "Hey, everything okay" text, everything ain't okay. Because somewhere he read it when the presence of God was moving and the righteous were rejoicing. There was something on you that was pushing on you. Ooh, I'm in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know I was going to get there this quick, but here we are. I'm telling you, what you do in the presence of God indicates where you're standing. It indicates where you've been living. What the presence of God does to you, if it's pushing on you, you got too much carnality. But there's something about the presence of God that the righteous are glad. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let's go to the house of God." When the music starts, it don't matter what song, it don't matter what style, just play it, because we're in the presence of God. So in this contrast, the righteous are rejoicing and the wicked are running. The righteous are going nuts. They're exceedingly rejoicing. They're a little over the top. But the righteous are over the top. But the wicked, they can't wait to get out of church. I'm letting all the secrets in. You go to a church where everybody leaves quick, especially on Sunday, everybody can't wait to get out of there. Something wrong. But you go to a church where you just gotta cut the lights off and say, "Go home." Something about the presence of God that's still pulling us in. It's here. Let the righteous be glad. So in this contrast, there's worship. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him. That's what the righteous are doing. That rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah. Rejoice before him. And then, here's where I want to preach, and that was my introduction. I've been preaching 27 minutes and 51 seconds. I'll be done in a few minutes. But in this contrast, as the writer displays to us the power of the presence of God, that it draws in and makes those that are unrighteous righteous. If you stay in it long enough. I don't have time, I'll get lost. But Isaiah was in the presence of God and he said, I wanted to fall on my face and die. And I said, woe is me, I can't live here, I can't do this. I'm not supposed to be in here. But you just stay long enough. When you don't want to stay on Sunday morning, don't run, come forward. And the angel comes from the altar and cleanses you. We didn't get here because of what we have done. We got here because the Holy Ghost has washed us. So after the writer displays this contrast of what the responses to the presence of God are, and he writes about worship, the praises to God who rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah. Then he chooses, and this is where I want to pluck what I want to preach here tonight for just a few more moments. He rides into this scene as we see a God who is standing up. There's a reason he introduces this after he talks about what the presence of God does. The presence of God is driving away wickedness. The presence of God is driving away brokenness. The presence of God is smashing in pieces the adversaries to his will and to his purpose. But while his presence has that kind of power, and while his presence has that kind of awe-inspiring moment, the writer chooses with that inflection of God. He said, here's what God is in his holy habitation. If God arises in your life, and if a church can create an atmosphere that God will inhabit, here's what happens. This God who is driving away wickedness, that's important. This God who is not wringing his hands over the brokenness of a world system. The God who is not wringing his hands over human misery and failure, but it all melts like wax in his presence. The psalmist said that God is a father to the fatherless and a defender of the widows. Woo. He makes sure to put it in your mind just how powerful he is before he tells you what he does. So this God who is riding through the heavens by his name, Yah, is a father of the fatherless. One of the biggest problems in our world right now is fatherlessness. But in this text, Brother Collins, there's a God who is not a God that's wimping out, but he's a God that when he stands up, every opposition to him melts. Got to keep that in your mind. When he stands up, everything that is against him melts. That's why you can come to this church on a Sunday morning from a broken, fatherless world that's hurted and hurting, and there's all kinds of pain and misery, and there's a reason that there's a bishop and a pastor and a bunch of people singing and rejoicing. Let God arise, because when you walk into his presence, everything that is holding you back melts off of you and panics. My God, have mercy. It scatters like the dust. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a defender, a judge for the widows. But here's my favorite part. God setteth the solitary in families. If I was a good preacher, you'd already be shouting. That word solitary in the Hebrew simply means the lonely. Because this world of sin and brokenness the chains of addiction and hurt and sin and wickedness that all of us are products of. Our families are broken. Let me just tell you, I'm preaching about a family here tonight. We come to God with all kinds of human brokenness. And here's what God does. He takes the lonely, the solitary, those that come to Him with nothing left, those that come to Him. They don't have no hope. You know what a family does? It gives you hope. You know what a family does? It gives you a future. When you come to God and you have none of that, what does He do? He don't banish you out to the orphan home. He don't pat you on the head and say, oh, it'll be all right. My grace. No, He takes the lonely and He pulls them out of their brokenness and He brings them to a place called new life right up in the middle, and He brings the lonely and He sets them down in the family. Come on, will you help me preach on a Wednesday night? He's the God that drives away brokenness. He drives away carnality. He drives away wickedness. But He picks up the lonely and He brings them. He puts the lonely in family. Now here's the problem. Here's where I want to preach. Some of us have forgotten the value of the family God put us in. Because the thing about family, I'm in the South. I'm from the South. I are one of y'all. You go to a family reunion. You know what I'm preaching. And your cousin Dwayne or Jermaine, whichever one, he comes in with his fifth girlfriend this year. I'm preaching. And somebody at the table is going to go, I can't believe he came. It's Christmas, man. Everybody comes home for Christmas. Even the people we don't like. Now, y'all can't sit on me because I know who we are. You got family you don't want to see. You got family, if they show up at your door tomorrow, you're going to be like, what is he? Well, how much money does he need now? Am I preaching good? But what happens is some old aunt or grandma stand up, get all huffy, and say, he's family. That's why he's here. Well, and all of a sudden, all right, he's here. Let me tell you something. You got to remember that when God found you, you were lonely and broken and hurting, and He brought you to a family. Don't you turn on your family. We ain't all perfect, but we're family. We ain't got it all together, but God put us in the family. You know what I'm preaching? There's folks in the church, they rub you the wrong way. They get on your nerves. They mess with your kids. But you need to remember, they're your family. God put you here, and God put them here. We don't treat the church like we treat family. Yeah, that's right. You give your sister 47 chances. She ain't never done right. Y'all know what I'm preaching. I'm preaching good. Your brother-in-law still owes you money. But you ain't going to give up on him because he's family. But you let somebody in the church hurt you, you're done with them.
You let the pastor mess up and mishandle you, you leaving and ain't never coming back. Why? Because you forgot where you were when God put you in the family. You forgot how lonely you were. You forgot how many chains you had when God brought you out of the world of darkness and put you in the family. Come on. I wonder if you'd help an old redneck preach tonight. You want to shake somebody and say, welcome to the family. This is family. We family. Woo. Musicians, come. I'm getting ready to quit. We need to get a baptism of memory of just how bad it was when God picked us up out of our sin. We need to get a remembrance of just how miserable we were when we fell on our knees in the altar and we came up out of that water and God set us in the family of God. I'm in the Holy Ghost. You grandmamas, all grandparents is hypocrites. My dad's dead and gone. He whipped me one time with an extension cord. A big one. My oldest daughter was about 3 years old, and my wife spatted her on the rear end with her hand. She busted out crying. My dad told my wife, he had the audacity to tell my wife, you don't need to whip that baby that hard. I'm going to tell you what we need in the church. We need some old grandmamas. Oh, I'm in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about spiritual grandmama. That when that old young person makes a dumb mistake, and I mean they spill all the beans, they bust all the cereal, they don't need some grandmamas in the back corner going, out of them little kids, they need to get them kids out of here. You need to get that grandmama spirit. I say, these are my babies. Wrap them up. Put a prayer cloth on them. I say, this is my family. He's probably watching. I don't know. I'm just going to preach about it. We got an old boy. He got the Holy Ghost a little while ago. He don't know nothing. All the boundaries he has in his life, Brother Sutton, I've given him since he's been in church. And some of them I had to give them to him like. We wasn't in the altar. But he don't know when to sit down. He'd do real good around here. You know, nobody sit down. Y'all don't even know where y'all seats are. There ain't even no seats up here. I hope we get 50 of them just like him. We'll be singing Amazing Grace or something. We'll be singing some old hymn on Sunday morning. He'll be on the front row. And if you don't leave him alone, he'll tear out running. I got some old sisters in my church. They'll come to me and say, you need to calm him down. I said, I hope he steps on you Sunday morning. He's in the family. When he got here, he didn't have nothing. When he got here, he didn't know nothing. But God brought him to the family. He's in the family. I'm in the Holy Ghost right now, ain't I? They walk into our churches. Ain't no normal sinners anymore. Have you seen that? You notice that? There ain't no normal sinners anymore. I guarantee you, Pastor Collins would have a heart attack if this happened Sunday morning.
Nice couple come in, two kids, mid-30s. They drove in a nice vehicle, sitting there looking all sharp. You walk up and you introduce yourself to them. My name's Pastor Collins. Good to have you here. And they're like, this is my first wife. And these are both our kids. We have a good job and our light bill's not due. And we just want the Holy Ghost and we want to come to church. And where do we get a tithing envelope? You'd have to call 911 and resuscitate. They don't make them like that anymore. When they come in, you say, man, it's nice to have your kids here. Well, those ain't my kids. That's my wife's kids by her first husband who still comes around. He'll be here next Sunday. And this is my mother-in-law who used to be my sister-in-law. But now, that I'm going to tell you, this is the presence of God. They're going to come in bound with chains. They're going to come in messed up. But God's bringing them to the family. He brought the solitary in families. Aren't you glad he let you in the family? Aren't you glad you're here tonight? Mama, I love you. The church is the mother of us all. I love you, Mama. I love you, Mama. Don't kick me out of the family. So we're the church. I'm going to quit. I preached 44 minutes. The Bible says the church, Jerusalem, the mother of us all. You know, there's something about mamas. My wife is pitiful. Pitiful. My son got my wife wrapped around her finger, his finger. He'd be laying on the couch in the bedroom. Mama, you bring me a water? She'll get up and take it in there. I'll be laying on the couch. Hey, Tess. Ain't you got some lead? Mama. Oh, man, I mean, I have to take him outside to whip him. It's pitiful. Mama, y'all know how it is. Some of y'all got them kind of mamas. I mean, you can be outside burning the house down and your mama be like, well, he didn't mean to do it. I just saw him. He threw a rock through that window. He did it on purpose. Oh, it was an accident. Come on, Mama. I'm gonna tell you something. When God puts solitary people, lonely people in our church, they're not gonna do right. They're going to mess up. They're going to come in with their nose busted, the window busted, and their clothes all fast. Come on, Mama. Come on, Mama. Don't be like some other. Come on, Mama. Pick them up. Say, it's all right, baby. You didn't mean to do it. Come on in the family. Get down here in the altar. Let's pray it through. Let's wipe you up. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, there's a revival being born in this city, in this region, in this nation. But we need a church that says, I got in the family, and there's a place for you. Woo! I'm supposed to quit. But if you're here tonight, and you hear what I'm preaching, and you feel what I'm preaching, if you're here tonight, and you've lived what I'm preaching, I'm going to tell you, it's a wonder I can even spell revival. There's some of y'all, your pastor don't even know how you made it. You just made it. He's just glad you made it. Can't even tell you how you made it. You just kept, you didn't leave. Woo. Let me tell you something. The only way you won't make it, I don't care how many chains you got on your life. I don't care how lonely you are. I don't care how wicked you are. The only way you won't make it is if you finally just say, I'm not staying in this family. I'm going back to my family in the world. I'm going back to drugs. I'm going back to the chains. I'm going back to Egypt.
I want you to link up with the person beside you if it's appropriate. Ooh, I want you to look them in the eyeball. And I want you to tell them, I can't believe they let you in this family. But you know what I can't believe more? That they let me in this family. Ooh, I want you to look at them and tell them, welcome to the family. I ain't going nowhere. And I ain't going to let you go nowhere. This is the presence of God. If you got problems, let God arise. Ooh, come on, let's make our way up. If you got problems, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Ooh. Come on, I wonder if you just come on up to the family reunion. Come on, old crazy uncle, he's here, but he's in the family. He's in the family. Come on, family. It's time to get in the family. Come on, lonely. I don't care how messed up your life is. God wants to put you in the family. Come on, let's go.
He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give
don't
up.
Give up on me, mama. Don't give up on me, daddy. Don't give up on me, brother. I'm in the family. Come on. Come on, backslider. It's time to get back in the family. got some praise. You just heard a word from God. Come on, link up with somebody and tell them you're my family. We're going to shout together. We're going to dance together. We're going to rejoice together. We're going to have revival together.
That exist on the micro also exist on the macro. And what God is doing in this church is He is unifying this church. One mind, one accord, one spirit. Because He's getting ready to launch this church. In this last year, as a matter of fact, tonight we have a bunch of people that have come back from Guam. A handful of people went away on business and they went and preached and taught Bible studies and baptized 3 people in the ocean. And now they've come home to regroup. And I've talked to a couple of them. They said, we're going back and we're going to go have revival. They're going back for 5 more weeks. We have a group of people that went to Roatan, Honduras this year. And God is opening up doors for us to go back. Amen. Brother Dawson is leaving tomorrow to go to Africa with Brother Bass. And they are going to be preaching and teaching to 300 plus Trinitarian pastors. And they're going to be preaching the mighty God in Christ on the continent of Africa. Now let me show you how this works. Several years ago, Brother Tracy came into the house of God. Brother Tracy was sitting on a bar stool at our local restaurant, and a young lady witnessed to him and brought him into the house of God. God filled him with the Holy Ghost and baptized him in Jesus' name. And several years ago, Brother Tracy was talking at a Thanksgiving service, and he said, when I came to New Life, he said, this church brought me in like family. And he said, I was running out of family. He had lost 3 or 4 members of his family, and he was at the very bottom. But he came into this church, and this church took him in like family. This last year, many of you don't know this, but Brother Dawson and Sister Melody adopted him as family. They brought him in and they said, we're going to treat you like family. You're going to come in, you're going to come to Thanksgiving, you're going to come to Christmas, and they adopted him. Now, Brother Tracy has come into their family, and let me tell you how this works. Now, Brother Tracy is about to go with Brother Dawson to the continent of Africa to do the work of missions. Why does God unify people? Because God has a plan for the whole world. Brother Dawson, I want you to come and stand right here in the middle. Where's Brother Eli? Come and stand with him. They're about to go and do missions work. His brother Tracy's not here. I didn't see him. He's at a funeral. I need some men to come and stand with him and pray the Holy Ghost down. I need everybody all over the house to pray in their direction and begin to pray the anointing and the power of God. I'm telling you, God is about to unleash some things in this ministry in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. Brother Wells, come and pray. in the name of Jesus. God, launch them, Lord. Open up ministry, God. Do a great and effectual work, oh Lord. Open up a door that no man can close. Come on, why don't you lift up a shout of praise to heaven and magnify Jesus. Do the work, oh God. Do the work, oh God. Clap your hands to heaven and magnify Jesus. Praise God. Thank you so much for the word of God, Brother Wells. We appreciate you being sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. As you leave tonight, love somebody near you. Tell them how glad you are to be in the kingdom of God with them. As you go, grab some flyers in the foyer. Go and share the good news to everybody that you encounter. Praise God. God bless you. You are dismissed in Jesus' name tonight.